This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, it is Friday. Glad you could be with us. It is hour number two. We got a good one coming up. NFL schedule, the early game preview, then the late game preview. We'll also get a look at the Saints as they go through a quarterback change now that Drew Brees is hurt. We'll talk to John Hendricks of the Saints News Network. We'll talk to him about not only the upcoming game against the Falcons, but overall Brees. Michael Thomas has been an issue. A couple of things that are going on within the Saints, who are one of the top teams in the NFC. Last night, the Seattle Seahawks beat the Arizona Cardinals as they regain hold of the division for now. We'll see Monday night when the Rams play the Buccaneers. But Seattle gets an important win for them. They didn't want to fall 0-2 to the Cardinals this season in a very tight race for the division. You want to win your division, and Seattle is now a step closer to doing that by getting this victory. It ends a two-game slide, which may not seem a lot, but when you're talking about winning divisions and being one of the top seeds, and you're only talking about a handful of losses that you can really afford to have, it is a big deal. But here was the most important takeaway from Thursday night's game. The fact is, Seattle's defense going into Thursday night was not good at all. Injuries and just problematic and, you know, allowing players to look really sharp against them. And Russell Wilson had to do extra work to try to make up for the fact that his defense wasn't making any big plays. Remember, Josh Allen torched him. You've got a Seahawks team that's too good to be messing around with a bad defense and flirting with the potential of having this good season so far turn into a mess. The defense showed up to play last night, and the defense, even on a short week, looked so much better. They contained Kyler Murray as best you can contain Kyler Murray, and they were able to get to him when they couldn't get to him in week 7, including the game clinching sack at the end. I think this goes a long way for Seattle, who now have 4 easy games. And again, I use easy in quotes because you know, it's not playing in, you know, non-conference games in college football, but they are now in a really good position at the end of this 4-week stretch against 3 teams from the NFC East plus the winless Jets, of really securing that division and holding on to that amongst the movement of both Arizona and the Rams. What else is on the schedule? We'll get to that coming up. It's Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along with Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. All right, we got to get into the weekend schedule, if you will. But before we do that, hey, you know what's coming up next week, Ron Culver?
Turkey Day.
And you know what that means? Everyone's going to overeat. We all do it. While we all go up for seconds and thirds. You know what's cool about Thanksgiving? It's one of the only few times where seconds and thirds are expected that you do that, right?
Yeah, but don't...
Like a full plate.
But as people, don't we feel a little guilty?
A little bit, yeah, sure. I mean, maybe, just a touch.
I try not to fill... Every single time I do it, I try not to fill up the plate like I did the first time around. And then I look at it, I'm like, God, this is ridiculous.
All right, real quick. So you go up to the thing. You get some turkey, get some potatoes, get some beans, whatever it is you get, right? You get the cranberry sauce, stuffing, all that.
It's a carb day.
Then you eat. Then you go back up in for seconds. And then you do the same thing. Thanksgiving is a time you can do that. Now, if you went to a restaurant and you ordered a turkey meal... Would you tell the waiter after you were done, yeah, bring me the exact same thing that you just did. Put that on the bill. Make another one. Bring it back.
I would do it as I slam my glass to the ground.
Thanksgiving, we're all allowed to do that. But here comes the nausea. Here comes the upset stomach. That's why you need Nauseen. Wild cherry flavor, quick dissolving, chewable tablets. And best of all, they're available in the digestive section at most leading retailers. Chew 2 to 4 tablets. And it doesn't have that medicinal flavor, that chalkiness, bitter aftertaste. You're like, you don't want that. Non-drowsy, too. No aspirin, no caffeine or antihistamines. And again, you get... Take a couple of these. You're going to need them because this holiday season, whether it's Thanksgiving or the meals that you're going to have at various times up until the holidays at the end of the Christmas season, you're going to need some Nauseen. And again, I like the wild cherry flavor because if it's wild cherry, I tend to want to have it. It's one of my favorite flavors.
Then it kind of feels like candy.
Then it does feel like candy. And especially if you're talking about something that doesn't have that chalky taste, which is great. And doesn't have the bitter aftertaste. So you're going to need Nauseen, again, as I said, available at the digestive section at most leading retailers. All right, let's get underway with the preview for this weekend's game. We're into week 11 already. We're going to start in Cleveland where the Browns take on Philadelphia. All right, the Browns at 6-3. Philadelphia is leading the NFC East, but they only have 3 wins this season. So they're holding off the New York football Giants who are on a bye week. Back off. Baker Mayfield and the Browns competing in the AFC for a playoff spot. Again, as it's one of the 6-3 teams tied with Baltimore this late in the season in the AFC North.
Would you be thinking that 3-5-1 would be leading a division late in the season?
I know. It gets fun, the complete carnage that is the NFC East, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Just complete fun.
I'm picturing the division winner with 6 wins.
I do, too. And we're getting to that point. Look, we're heading into the final, 6 games of the season for these teams? 7 games of the season?
Yeah, their schedule isn't easy. I mean, they're just going to beat each other. I don't think they can win a game outside their division.
I'm with you. And Cleveland, look, if they keep winning some games, and this is a winnable game for them, the collapse may not happen, right? The falling apart and finishing 6-10 may not happen. Keep winning some games. You're right in the running.
Quietly just be there at the end of the season
and
you're in the playoffs.
That's exactly what we want. That's all you want. Be there at the end. The New Orleans Saints will be at the Superdome taking on Atlanta. Boy, if I was a smart person, I would have looked up Jameis Winston's stats against the Falcons when he was with the Buccaneers. How many picks did he throw against the Falcons secondary since arriving in the league? But he's playing for New Orleans and he'll be the starter. With Breeze out. Atlanta has made... I don't want to get overblown here, so I want to slow down the excitement. Raheem Morris, who was once the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defensive coordinator at Atlanta, took over this job. He is a Todd Gurley mistake at the goal line away from being 4-0 since taking over this team that started 0-5 under Dan Quinn. Now, sometimes a coach just brings a new attitude, a new life. But again, if Gurley had just kneeled down at the 1-yard line in that game against the Lions, they'd be 4-0 right now and coming off a bye week heading to New Orleans and a little bit more dangerous than we may be anticipating. But without Drew Brees, are the Saints vulnerable in this game against a Falcons team that's popping up?
I mean, the other thing to look at, too, is that Alvin Kamara didn't practice yesterday.
That's right.
So
that's right.
But you know what? We could be ushering in a new era of Tamus.
Yeah. You got to get Matt Ryan rolling because you know the Falcons defense is going to get 2, 3, 4 pick sixes in this game, right?
Well, I mean, that's a given.
It's a given. So they're already up 21-0 in my mind.
Well, 14.
Oh, what if Jameis throws like 2 of those?
He's got to
throw 1. What if he's amazing?
He's amazing? And you know, what if, because remember last year, Breeze went down. And who stepped in?
Yeah.
Teddy Bridgewater. All we kept saying is like, you know, if Teddy Bridgewater can split the difference, the Saints will keep marching on.
Teddy football.
And Teddy went on to go 5-0. Can Jameis do the same thing? I'm not thinking he can, but can he?
Be nice to see his season, his career get a little uptick. All right, Cincinnati taking on Washington. Not a lot of value here. Both teams obviously struggling, but you've got a Riley veteran and Alex Smith making his second start since that devastating leg injury, his third appearance since that devastating leg injury, and he's done pretty well since coming into this, coming back. He's done pretty well. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. Look, I don't care how many wins and losses this kid gets. Every time he plays, he's getting better and better. He didn't look good against the Steelers. This is a bounce back game, but he is looking the part of an NFL player. It's not a must watch by any means, but the Alex Smith feel-good story coupled with Joe Burrow progressing as an NFL pro, it's got a little bit of entertainment there.
It's fun. Like you said, anytime Joe Burrow's on the field right now, I'm not saying it's a must-watch, but, you know, there are worse things to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
He's fun.
I didn't think the Steelers were going to lose to the Bengals, but I thought Burrow could make that game a little more interesting. He didn't, but I wasn't, like, so confident that they'd roll past a rookie quarterback because pretty good at times.
He grew up in Southern Ohio. He might have been a Steelers fan,
For all we know. Carolina against Detroit. Yeah, the Panthers. Christian McCaffrey on and off situation is just, they've lost 5 in a row. They're not very good. And neither are the Lions. So, no, you can skip this one.
Yeah.
I got nothing left in this one.
Not unless you're in those markets. If you're in Detroit.
If you're in those markets and you want to just see wins, we get the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. So you can avoid them this weekend because you'll get a handful of Lions activity coming up on Thanksgiving.
You'll see them, Thursday morning.
Yeah, Thursday morning, and you'll see them against Houston, taking on the Texans. Oof. Yeah, boy. You got Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. Okay, can I just make this clear? I know it's not the same Jacksonville team. I don't like Jacksonville as an organization for all the pain they have given the Steelers over the last couple of years since arriving in this league in the mid-90s. Even right away, they were a team that beat Pittsburgh. Right away, when they were an expansion team, they beat Pittsburgh. They have beaten them twice in the postseason, including the last time the Steelers were in the playoffs, when the Steelers had a good team, and Jacksonville went there and converted every third down they saw. Obviously a different football team. Jacksonville has decided that if you have any talent, you don't deserve to be on their team, so they will ship you off to other teams that are making runs at the postseason. But the Steelers are 9-0. You hope that the train doesn't get derailed by this team with a rookie quarterback. Saying it will, but bleh.
Does this have trap game effect?
Does. It could. Look, Mike Tomlin is right. Everybody takes their shot at Pittsburgh, and especially when you're unbeaten. That's how you can make your season when you're Jacksonville and you stink and you've lost 8 in a row.
Well, I can tell you who's rooting hard for this game.
Who?
Jet fan.
Jet fan, sure.
Jet fan
Jacksonville's flirting too close.
Jet fan is all about Jaguar fan.
Yeah.
Because at any given moment, Jaguars have a worse schedule. Jets win a game. Jaguars get the number one overall pick.
That's right.
Which I believe is what they want.
I believe they want to. Here's Tennessee and Baltimore in that game at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. The Ravens are 6-3.
Did you say M&T?
M&T? Is that M&T?
Just M&T Stadium.
I went to read it and then realized I really didn't identify the bank. So
I was just saying it was going to be an empty stadium.
Empty stadium, nice. the Ravens are 6-3. That's surprising. That's surprising. But their losses have come at an unbeaten Steeler team, a Kansas City team, and this monsoon game on Sunday night. So all is not falling apart for the Ravens. Lamar Jackson is not MVP level, but did anybody really think he was just going to do what he did before?
No, you had
a special year.
Well, that, but you also have teams who were able to watch tape and say, okay, now we can figure him out.
They still are the top rushing team in the league. They still give up least amount of points in the league. So they're still a danger. Now, the Titans can't mess around anymore. The Titans had their fun starting the season 5-0. But they've lost 3 of their last 4 games, including to the Colts last Thursday night, putting them in a tie with the Colts for the division. So you can't mess around anymore. You got the Colts again. The Browns are good. You got the Packers on their schedule. You can't mess around with this. Special teams is hurting this team. Steven Gostkowski's missed 8 field goals this season. This is not. I'm not saying it's the best game of the weekend, but 2-6-3 teams that really can't play around with their schedule anymore could be a very fun and interesting game.
It's a good game to watch.
It's a good game to watch. How about New England at Houston? The Texans have 2 wins this season, both against Jacksonville. The Patriots are 4-5, but they've now won 2 in a row, including the monsoon game against Baltimore, and then beating the Jets in a last-second field goal. I want the Texans to wake up and play well, even though it doesn't matter. I just don't think they are.
I just don't think they're going to happen either. Here's the deal. You know, I mean, on paper, the Texans may have a better team than the Patriots do, but it's the coach. You know, yeah, they're going to get completely outcoached in this game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And
Bill's going to devise something that's going to leave Deshaun Watson stumped, and they just don't have the personnel to combat it.
Listen, I'm worried for Deshaun Watson's career. It was heading up, it's ticking up, and now he's got a team around him that's not capable of winning.
Yep.
And I'm worried about, like, okay, we're going to get rid of some pieces, and we're going to bring in other pieces, and maybe 2 years of just Houston Texans play. I don't want that to happen to Deshaun Watson. He was a rising star in this league. I want him to stay that way. He's a good kid. He's a good player.
Yeah, we wanted him to keep pace with Mahomes because that's what was supposed to happen.
That was supposed to
happen. Remember last year when the two met in the playoffs? And he was
remember
like,
that?
This is what it's supposed to be year in and year out.
Yep, exactly.
One of these two, because I guess what we're wanting is we're wanting another Brady, Manning, Roethlisberger trio to just kind of take over the AFC.
Yeah, the first quarter of that playoff game was the last time the Texans were good. Like, that's it. Like, the last time the Texans showed that they were a good football team was in the first quarter of that playoff loss to the Chiefs.
What did the Chiefs do to them?
That's it. I know. And then it's all been a mess since. All right, the late afternoon games coming up next as we continue our NFL Week 11 preview. We'll also talk Saints football coming up as well with John Hendricks. That's all coming up. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. So stop by, talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, we continue our Week 11 preview in the NFL. And now we go to the late games, the afternoon games. You know, the 4 o'clock games if you're on the East Coast, 3 o'clock if you're in the Central, the still early games if you're in the Pacific time zone, and the still sleeping games if you're in Hawaii. Miami against Denver. Broncos are in trouble. Drew Locke is, okay. He was so highly, got so much high acclimate when he got into this league. But now the Dolphins are 6-3, and what they win could tie Buffalo for the division lead. Now, if you're the Bills, you don't need this, right?
They don't want this.
Yeah.
Bills really Bronco fans this weekend?
Yeah. Bills are Broncos fans. Tua's got like a foot thing going on. Is that what I read? Not the hip, but a little bit of a foot issue. But he'll play.
He'll play.
He'll play.
The only thing I wish it was snowing.
Yeah, Denver.
Because I love watching these games in the snow. But I'd also love to see Tua, Hawaiian boy, who I don't think has ever played in snow.
No, not at Alabama.
No.
You know?
And not down in Miami.
Not down in Miami. 5 straight wins for the Dolphins.
Good
looking
night.
To make it 6 Ooh. Straight against the Broncos who are...
Who would have thought? Remember we kind of criticized the move?
Yeah,
going
we
from
did.
Fitzpatrick
did.
To Tua and like, yeah, you don't do that to the guy. And
I totally did that. I was like, this is
him.
Stupid, Brian Flores. Don't give up on the season. You're 3-3.
Yeah.
He's now won 5 straight, right there in the thick of it. Hey, the same rule applies for them as a rule for Cleveland, right? Keep winning games, and you're right in you're in this conversation. The Jets against the Chargers. Watch this, because if the Jets win this game, Ron,
no.
You don't want to be the team that loses to the Jets.
Here's the issue that I'll give you a little quick, brief Chargers history.
Yeah.
We suck against the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
I don't know what it is. Anytime we met the Jets in the playoffs, we lost.
Wow.
Every single time. You look back to those Phillip Rivers, LaDainian Tomlinson stretches. You know, even when they were coached by Marty Schottenheimer and anytime if the Jets were in the playoffs, first round of the playoffs, we lost.
Oh, my goodness.
And now we go and cut our quarterback's hair? This was a bad idea.
Bad idea. I love Should've your Samson analogy.
It'll happen.
Biblical tale.
If I swear to God, I will bring it. I will be dancing all over this on Monday. If what happens, I believe could very likely happen.
It's a 9.5-point spread for the Chargers. The Jets at 0-9. Joe Flacco starting at quarterback for the injured Sam Darnold. I feel like I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Colts taking on Green Bay. This is a very good game. The Colts are sneaky good defensively. Look, Phillip Rivers is not lighting it up or anything like that. He's not doing, but he's
He's Peyton Manning
enough.
It.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
He's game managing. He's getting the job done. I mean, he doesn't make huge mistakes.
No, but you could make the argument that he's not light years better than Jacoby Brissett. Like, Brissett might have produced the same offensive output. Maybe slightly better or slightly worse, but you can make the argument that it's not been a tremendous upgrade at the position. It doesn't matter. The Colts defense is good enough to put them still in games. And they've won three of their last four. They've been off since last Thursday. They're playing a Packers team that is outstanding at 7-2. This is a very good game at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis. Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers, right?
Yeah.
Devontae Adams against whoever Rivers is throwing to.
I don't even know.
Jonathan Taylor running the ball for the Colts. You know, and that
T.Y.
defense.
Hilton?
T.Y. Hilton.
Is he still playing?
Sure, let's throw him out there. He's still playing. Why not? This is a good game. Don't sleep on it. Don't ignore it either. It's good, one of those good late games. Is this going to be the Nance Romo game? I don't know.
Probably.
Probably. No, it's on Fox. I just looked it up. Oh. It's on Fox.
This
it's not
going to
be the Buck Aikman game, is it?
Well, probably.
That's got to be Dallas, Minnesota, you watch.
God, don't. Don't do that.
Because that's what's next. Andy Dalton is back at quarterback for the Cowboys at 2-7 off a bye week. Have lost four straight. Dallas is playing a Minnesota team that you wished you got at the beginning of the season when they didn't really know who they were and were losing five of their first six games. But since then, they've looked pretty decent. They played pretty well. Dalvin Cook leads the league in rushing. Kirk Cousins hasn't been too bad either. They're actually showing some life. But the Cowboys need a win because they're still right in the thick of things in the NFC East. A win, behind the Eagles and the Giants. The Eagles have that tiebreaker that's going to come into play. You watch it. But Andy Dalton, God bless this kid. A COVID-19, getting COVID-19, and he had a concussion. So he's dealing with a concussion, and then he got the virus. Good for him. He came through with flying colors. He's going to be the starter against Minnesota.
All right, just real quick. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo doing Tennessee-Baltimore.
Oh, okay. That's the one we said was one of the better games of the weekend. So that's good.
Buck and Aikman doing Green Bay-Indianapolis.
All right.
Thank God.
Yes, we don't need them doing this.
No, we have Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma doing
Cowboys-Vikings. Cowboys-Vikings.
At least they got that one right.
At least they did get that one right, is right. Sunday night football, the Chiefs are on the road to face Las Vegas, the only team to beat them this season. And as we told you yesterday, Las Vegas has pretty much everybody on the COVID-19 list.
Yeah, someone might have made a promo out of it, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Just saying.
I think they're starting Jerome, who's the bartender down at the Flamingo. He's the starting tailback.
Of course he is.
I think two showgirls are going to be in the secondary. Wayne Newton, I think, is suiting up as the punter.
Oh, that's actually a good get.
Yeah, that's a very good get. Mr. Dunkashan himself.
Yeah.
But the Raiders are on a roll. They've won four of their last five. But I have no idea. This list has got some important people on it.
Yeah. You know what this is? This is preseason Raiders where you're showing up a team and you're like, right. Okay, who's that guy?
That's right.
You're checking your program. To find out where that guy plays.
Jonathan Abram is on that list. Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins is on that list.
You know what's going to be fun?
Arden Key, Isaiah Johnson.
This is why you watch it. First of all, it's Sunday night, so there's nothing else on.
Right.
The other thing you watch this for is Al Michaels and Chris Collins were trying to explain how well they know these players that they've never
completely.
Heard of before.
Completely.
Because I guarantee
really
you this
like this
happen.
Guy, Al. This guy's a player. He can play for me anytime he wants.
Don't you want Al Michaels just turns like, you just asked me how to say his last name.
Exactly. You didn't 2 days ago, you didn't even know he was on the team, and now he can play for you? Shut up. Monday night, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. That's how I'm going to refer to them now.
Yeah.
Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
Well,
you know, like,
I mean,
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons.
It's the same initials.
Instead of just saying the Four Seasons. Just say Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons.
You say Tampa
Gladys
Bay?
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers?
Tampa Bay and the Buccaneers hosting the Rams. Buccaneers bounce back nicely after being embarrassed by the Saints. They beat Carolina. And the Rams are 6-3 and rolling along nicely in their race for the division of the NFC West. That's a nice Monday night game. It'll be our luck. It'll be 34-0 at halftime. Hope it's actually a better game than we got the Sunday night version of this Buccaneers team. There you go, the preview. And now we're going to focus on the Saints, as Jim Hendricks will join us next. We'll talk to him from Saints Daily News next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. We gave you our NFL Week 11 previews. One of the games, the Saints taking on the Atlanta Falcons at the Superdome. New Orleans is riding a six-game win streak. They lead the division, but Drew Brees is out. Jameis Winston at quarterback. They've had a season where they've had a couple of storylines coming out of New Orleans. John Hendricks joins us on a Progressive guest line. Saints News Network and Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, John?
I'm doing good, man. Just enjoying a nice cup of coffee. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. So this 7-2 start. Now here this weekend, Jameis Winston is going to be the quarterback. But give us an idea in terms of Winston's arrival in New Orleans, how he fits into Sean Payton's scheme. What do you think he's going to be able to do on Sunday?
Yeah, look, I mean, Jameis Winston is no stranger to playing the Falcons. He's 4-5 in his career, and has some pretty good stat lines, almost passed for about 3,000 yards and has a really good touchdown-interception ratio. But, look, you know, ultimately he came to New Orleans with a clear vision saying, hey, look, I'm here to learn. I'm here to better myself as a quarterback, and kind of saw what Teddy Bridgewater was able to do last year. And, look, he's betting on himself. And I'll tell you, he's come in here since day one and just really been impressive. He's been great with the media, saying the right things. He slimmed down in addition to his LASIK. I mean, it was part of his vegan-based diet, if you will. And so, look, I think his mechanics and his movement has been good. You know, I wouldn't judge him based off of the sample size that you saw last week against the 49ers. But, look, I think he gives the Saints an option to push the ball down the field a little bit better. You know, maybe get some explosion plays as opposed to Drew Brees, you know. And, again, Brees is surgical, right? Winston, I think, has some of that upside. So, look, I think he's going to be just fine. You know, and of course, you got two of the greatest players to lean on, in Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, to make it a little bit easier on you.
You touched on something that I want to get to about Winston's attitude, because a lot of guys, when you get ceremonially dumped from a team that you got drafted with and you were going to be the franchise guy, you go to another team, there can be some bitterness, you kind of maybe dwell in the past, or you take the opportunity to say, okay, there was a reason for this, and now I'm in an opportunity where I can continue to grow. So Winston coming into New Orleans and being sort of open a little bit, you've seen this sort of second attitude where he's looking ahead and trying to get better?
Yeah, look, I mean, and again, he talked about it. I remember he talked a lot about humility when he joined the team, and you know, again, that he's going to learn about it and make him better. And look, you know, the thing is, they've embraced him. And much like Brees, he just, you know, they were texting back and forth during the COVID, and even though they couldn't have mini camp and all this, just trying to learn and be a sponge. And, you know, Brees has taken a lot of people under his wing, right? With him and Taysom Hill, I mean, that's a very close quarterback room. And look, I think with everything that's happened to Winston, look, he's very – gets a lot of compliments from a lot of his teammates, a lot of his coaches. And again, he took this as an opportunity to grow and better himself. So look, I think he's definitely going to prove himself. And look, I think ultimately when you look at it, I think this is his perfect audition and his perfect opportunity. It's not ideal to not have Drew Brees in the mix, right? But,
right,
you know, he's as tough as nails. And so I think he'll be just fine.
Give us an idea on Taysom Hill. We see him occasionally, and those of us outside of New Orleans, we see highlights of him, and we know he's versatile in all of these roles. But what about him being the quarterback? Why did they go to Jameis Winston? What is it about him not being the second guy?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, again, Sean Payton hasn't named a starter yet. I think the wild belief is it's going to be Jameis Winston, but Hill's, you know, still considered some of their quarterback of the future. And look, Hill's explosive, right? He makes a lot of decisions on his feet. He's very exciting to watch, too. And you know, I think some of it boils down to I think you can still see a split. So Winston probably get the start, but Hill's probably going to play a little bit more. But it couldn't. It remains to be seen because those are your two quarterbacks that you have. You don't have Drew Brees in the mix, right? And so with Taysom Hill, look, obviously they put some financial investment into him. And again, it's not just for quarterback. I mean, the guy plays an F position in tight end. He plays joker position. He'll play a wide receiver. He'll block. He'll run routes. He'll play special teams coverage. He'll play punt coverage. So, I mean, again, he just wants to be on the field, right? And so I think in situation where the Saints are at 7-2, he'll still get his looks, right? But I think when you look at it, where the Saints are trying to fend off Green Bay and Tampa Bay and try to reclaim that top spot in the NFC, Winston, I think, is going to give them their best option right now.
We talked about their offense. What about their defense? Has it been coming on lately? They've looked like they've held some opponents in the last few games. What do you make of the Saints' defense?
Yeah, look, I mean, they've improved week after week. And I think the big thing was for them, you know, turning point was Carolina, obviously, for a lot of things. And again, you know, we thought coming out of the gate against Tampa in week one that, yeah, this is the defense we expected, right? And then they regressed wildly against the Raiders and the Packers. And then they just kind of found themselves. And a lot of it was, hey, you know, it was a lot of it had to do with positioning. A lot of it had to do with communication. I mean, there was a lot of different factors there. But, you know, look, they've been settling in, getting better each week. I mean, they're being the defense that we thought they were going to be to start the season. And the thing is, it's not household names that are getting the job done, right? Because Cam Jordan's been relatively shut out on the stat sheet, but he still grades out pretty well. But Trey Hendrickson, 7.5 sacks. He was third in the NFL last week, but now he dropped tied for sixth. And, you know, you're getting production from guys like David Onyemata, who people still don't really know about. And linebacker, DeMario Davis is probably one of the most underrated or the most underrated linebacker in the league. They pick up Quan Alexander, who looks really good. And then their secondary is figuring things out. So Malcolm Jenkins is getting those guys. I mean, he was brought in for being a veteran leadership and kind of help with coverage. So, look, there's a lot of good things to like about the Saints defense. Marcus Davenport came back from injury when he didn't start the first part of the season, and he's looked fantastic. So, look, I think it's something that people sleep on. Obviously, their rush defense is very stout. Their pass defense, you know, that's where you try to find success against the Saints.
Michael Thomas has had a disappointing season, but he's dealt with injuries. He had that game suspension after the altercation. Is there a sense of frustration in him that is leading to some things on this team, or is it just normal frustration that you would have when you're not producing the way you're expected?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd take frustration, really. I mean, you know, again, what you got to know about Michael Thomas is this guy is a competitor and a half, right? I mean, he wants to be on the field. He wants to do his thing. You know, he was asked about, you know, the situation and stuff, and he, again, his answer, he's dialed in, right? He's active in the huddle. It's not like you read his body language and think, oh, this guy just doesn't want to be here, and then the Saints want to trade him or whatever, blah, blah, all this stuff that the national media kind of drove off of a false narrative, right?
Sure.
And so, but Thomas, look, I mean, it's disappointing to be the offensive player of the year and then just kind of wildly regressed into this, but, you know, again, these stats are important, but because he's always going to feel slighted being, you know, what, the sixth receiver taken in 2016's draft. So he's going to play with a chip on his shoulder. I think he's in for, you know, these final, you know, seven games or whatever for the Saints. He's going to be a big part of that. And so I think he's going to turn it around a good bit, maybe not have a fraction of what he produced last year. But look, Michael Thomas is going to get his and eat his. And, you know, the Saints have a ton of weapons. So he'll get his opportunities to play, and he'll be fine.
It's got to be fun to have a player like Alvin Kamara who can hurt you in so many ways. He runs the ball. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Where is he most effective? Where is he most damaging in the Saints' offensive scheme?
I think it's receiving out of the backfield. I mean, you can line up in the backfield. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up as a wide receiver. And the thing is, if you notice, it doesn't matter who they put on him. They put a linebacker on it, and there's no reason to put a linebacker. I mean, I've even seen defensive linemen have to guard against him, right? But it's not just those guys, because most of the running backs will beat those guys, you know, most times, unless you're facing some of the more elite linebackers. But, look, they put cornerbacks and safeties on Kamara, and he still makes crazy plays. And, you know, in particular, obviously last year he had the injury in Jacksonville, and you know, a lot of fans read more into it than what it was, but he was just hurt. He just couldn't do the things that he expected to do, he saw in the first two seasons of his career. So with Kamara, look, I mean, out of the backfield, his receiving threat, the guy can just take something that looks like nothing or it's going to just blow up, or, you know, you think you're going to have him and he just keeps on going. And every time he does it, he just doesn't even look like he's getting full speed. It's just absolutely crazy and beyond me. But the guy's balance and the way, ability to break tackles and just the things he does week in and week out is just clearly amazing. And look, I mean, the Saints paid him a nice, handsome contract extension. He's been worth every penny, probably a little underpaid, actually.
I really appreciate it, John. Thank you so much for joining us. Help us look at the Saints again on this 6-game win streak, 7-2 on top of division, having fun with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the NFC South. Really appreciate your insight.
Thanks for having me, man. Have a good rest of your show.
You too. Thank you so very much. It's John Hendricks, Saints News Network, on the Saints season so far. They'll play the Atlanta Falcons coming up. Falcons, as we mentioned earlier, fired Dan Quinn after an 0-5 start, and since then they've won 3 of 4, and that one loss was when Todd Gurley scored against the Lions, and the Lions came back and scored that touchdown. Take a knee, keep it on downs, don't give the ball away, win that game. They'll be on a 4-game win streak under the new interim coach. So they're playing good enough to be dangerous. And now we'll see if it's Winston or Hill, likely Winston at quarterback, where the Saints are going to be heading into this game at the Superdome. All right, coming up, we're going to venture as we head into the weekend. If you're looking for something to watch, you're watching, looking for a movie, the 25th anniversary of One of the Best is coming up. I'll tell you about that next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's our Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Michael on Twitter, have Bonilla come out with the Price is Right theme with an oversized check covered? Then the crowd yells out what he should guess and have Bonilla look into the crowd and guess the total. That's not bad, yeah. Does that actually work on The Price is Right? Would you trust the studio audience
for the price
of an item?
But if I'm sitting there with my wife, right, I'm looking at what she's going to give me because I don't want to hear about it on the way home.
That's true. That's true. Do you think the things on Price is Right seem a little overpriced?
Of course they are.
Like, isn't it weird? Like, you see something, you go, oh, that's probably like $200. And they're like, $875. And I'm like, where is that sold for $875?
I always look at, like, when, you know, they do, like, the grocery store items.
Yeah.
Because I've gone to the store once or twice, and I'm looking at that price going, that's not that.
Yeah, exactly. I can get, like, 5 boxes of Rice-A-Roni for $3.
Yeah.
Like, they're selling it for $425. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I think it's like that grill, that famous grill that they'd always bring out. They act like the thing is laced with gold. Like, what are you talking about? How expensive is that thing? It's $1,000. But yeah, that would be fun. All right. So look, if this weekend you're like, I got some good college football, I got some NFL, but I it's movie night and I want to watch a movie and I don't know what I want to watch.
What you
and
got
I
for us?
I want to relive. This weekend is the 25th anniversary of Casino.
Ooh.
With Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Sharon Stone, James Woods. Don Rickles was in it.
Jimmy Woods, if you roll in those circles.
That's right.
And Bobby Woods. De Niro, Bobby and Jimmy.
Bobby and Jimmy. Casino is another one of those Martin Scorsese gangster movies, in case you were wondering what it is. If you've never heard of it before or have never watched it. It's not as good as Goodfellas, but I thought it was excellent. It was outstanding. It's right up there. And it's true. It's based on the true story of Frank Rosenthal, who was the one of the premier gamblers at the Stardust back in the day, and Anthony the Ant Spilotro, who was one of the big mob guys in Vegas at the time. That's a character Joe Pesci plays, Nicky. So they changed some names, but I love that movie. One of the reasons I love it so much is when I moved to Las Vegas. Well, let me take it back real quick. When I was a young kid, I used to watch anything that I could watch about football. Right?
When you were a young kid, you always wanted to be a gangster?
I always wanted to be a gangster. So anytime that there was anybody talking about football, I wanted to watch it. Anything. And there used to be a show on the USA Network, and it was hosted by this kind of elderly guy, and he had some fun, loud-talking, gambling handicappers on, and they would talk gambling. And they would say, you know, call my 1-900 number, and I got the lock of the week, and I think the Packers are going to win, and they're going to cover the 6. And it was things I didn't know anything about, but I still watched it because I was a kid and I liked football. And the old guy that ran the show didn't really offer any opinion, but he just kind of, he kind of steered the direction of the conversation with all of these handicappers. And he was really good at it. Years later, I'm working in Las Vegas and I meet that guy, the guy at the head. His name was Lee Pete. And he became a very close friend of me and my wife and really a great radio mentor. He'd been in radio for a long time. And one of my favorite, I used to sit in a studio with him. He used to do this show at the station I worked at. And I used to type my sports stuff and whatnot. And we used to have these conversations. And I asked him about the movie Casino, because it was a couple of years after it came out and I was living out there. And Lee knew every one of those guys in that movie and would sit and tell me story after story after story of Anthony Spilotro and Frank Rosenthal and his wife, played by Sharon Stone, and everyone that was in that movie and what Vegas was like back in the mob days. And every time I see the movie, I think of my time with Lee. He passed away a few years ago and was just fantastic. But I was very happy to have met somebody who remembered those days. And every time I see Casino, because it's wild. Casino it's wild. It was a time at the end of the movie, they talk about how you used to go to Vegas. People knew your drink. They knew what you liked to play. And now it got so corporate. You lost a little bit of that personal touch. Now you show up with a suitcase and there's an 18-year-old asking for an ID. That's the movie tried to give you that timeline. Again, 25 years. I mean, just think, last year we were, what was it? The Irishman that was coming on Netflix with those two guys.
Yep.
Remember that three hour movie? 25 years and 30 years or so after Goodfellas. Those two can still make some movies together, can't they?
They can.
Love those guys. All right. Boss and Gloss coming up next at Sports Map Radio. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll see you Monday.